Welcome to Healthy You Radio Network, radio that empowers you to heal you. This is Dr. Keisha Ewers, your network host, and I'm proud to introduce the most dynamic show on radio that's all about the health of your mind and the expansion of your consciousness. Welcome to Mind Matters Radio with meditation guru, registered hypnotherapist, Enneagram coach, and Reiki master, Ajayan Boris.
Ever wonder what you're really capable of? Scientists tell us we use only a fraction of our true potential. Welcome to Mind Matters, part of the Healthy You Radio Network, where we'll explore the frontiers of human growth. Find out what experts in the field of psychology, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, and science have to say that will help you to live your life to the fullest. And now your host, Ajayan Boris.
And welcome to Mind Matters. I'm Ajayan Boris, your fellow explorer of human potential, and we are here every Monday for one reason, and that is because your mind really does matter, and we want to give you the inspiration and tools and insight that might just help you to heal and develop your mind. So joining me today is a wonderful author, actually his first-time author, but this book is fabulous. I really enjoy it. The author is Paul R. Lipton, and the book is Hour of the Wolf. Paul is an attorney. He's a speaker, a legal consultant, a blogger, and he's the co-chair of the 11th Circuit Committee on Professionalism in Miami-Dade County, Florida. And none of that really captures what he covers in his book, which is just, as I say, a great read, a wonderful story, and let's get right into it. Paul, welcome to Mind Matters.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Sure. Okay. So, first off, Paul, the book is Hour of the Wolf. Can you explain that title for our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. Hour of the Wolf is that time of night, usually 2-3 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. when people wake up. The eyes just snap open because something has been bothering them, either regrets or dashed dreams or worries that have been awfulized for some reason because you haven't faced or confronted that which you have to face. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was waking up at that time, and I started to look at it, and I said, okay, it's called Hour of the Wolf. Why does it happen, and how do we navigate our way through it and, in fact, avoid it? And that's what Hour of the Wolf is about. It's about navigating that time, avoiding it, and really confronting your life in a positive way, recognizing that we just have this one day, and this one day is critical and important to us.
Now, who calls it? How did that name, come about?
When I was waking up at that time, mm-hmm. I kind of started studying it, and I remember that there was a movie that came out years ago in the 1960s called The Hour of the Wolf by Ingmar Bergman. Mm-hmm. But then I Googled it, and sure enough, it's called The Witching Hour, The Midnight Mind, The Hour of the Wolf. It has various names, but that name seemed to stick with me as to that time of night when it just seems to be that most people or a lot of people are restless and wake up, and it's still a long way to sunrise, mm-hmm. and they have to confront that which maybe they didn't want to confront.
Interesting. Now, the reason I'm curious about this is, I do wake up sometimes, not every night, but, maybe a couple times a week or something, around 3:30-ish. It's usually about an hour and a half before the very first light of dawn, and for me, it's an actual very positive thing. I love to sit up and meditate. And there's in India, there's they call that time Navaswan. That's one of the names for it anyway. And it's supposed to be a time when the, you know, that the sort of wave of freshness comes through the atmosphere and starts to wake up the earliest birds and that kind of thing. But it's always, it's a wonderful time for meditation.
And I appreciate that. And that clearly is not the hour of the wolf. That is more your body clock, so to speak, and your calmness and ability to confront and deal with your life in a positive way is just your opportunity to get up and say, it's a fresh new day. Let me take some time for myself and start in the most positive of spirits.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So, okay, so that's the title, Hour of the Wolf. So just could you share with our listeners basically what the book is about?
Sure. The subtitle to the book is An Experiment in Ageless Living. Mm-hmm. And basically what Hour of the Wolf, An Experiment in Ageless Living is about is that I found myself waking up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And for me, as I delved into it, although everything, you know, on the surface is great, I've been married 45 years to my soulmate, wonderful kids and grandkids, very successful practice and profession. But for me, it was the issue of time and time running out of an hourglass. My dad died when he was 56. My mom died when she was 52.
Wow.
I had a very serious health issue that came up that I had to confront. And so for me, it was, I decided to write the book for all those people, and I think it's a universal journey, for all those people that you, whether things are going great or you're having some challenges or crisis in your life, I said to myself, this is my one life, as far as we know.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I want to seize the day. And the book, to a great extent, is my journey to find the meaning of a single day. What is the meaning of a single day to me? What is not what life's all about, but what my life is about? What's my purpose? What's the legacy of me being here? And as I went on this journey and I wrote about it, it was the most liberating of experiences. I cannot begin to tell you how liberating it has been to just talk about the beauty of a single day and how we seem to be so busy trying to stuff it with things, buying things or doing things, as opposed to just being in the moment. So the book follows my journeys to the Himalayas, where I spent some time there, and it crossing the ice fields on Mont Blanc, studying with shamans out in California at the Esalen Institute, going to Kripalu in the Berkshires to study it's a yoga retreat and studying there, and really takes us on a journey of self-awareness.
Right. Yeah, and in fact, you know, of course, the people listening to the show right now who haven't read your book won't be able to just know this, but I can tell people, and I really want to share this book with people because you sort of explore so sensitively and with such insight and inspiration your experience through all these different adventures. You draw, you know, meaning that is relevant to everyone through each of these, and it just makes for a lovely read, very entertaining, but also, you know, very thought-provoking and inspirational. You've done a beautiful job.
Thank you so much. I'm very grateful. One of the reasons I I wrote the book, Hour of the Wolf, is that one of my favorite books of all time is Somerset Maugham's The Razor's Edge.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, the protagonist, Larry Darrell, searching for the meaning of his life, traveled to the Himalayas as part of his life journey. And I remember telling my wife back in 1988, I said, I need to go to the Himalayas. I need to go there, and something's waiting for me there. And in 1990, I took a month, and my wife and I went there, trekked up to the monastery at Tangboche, and I really had some epiphanies there. And that's what I wanted to share with the reader.
Can you share, what did you experience in that monastery?
When I was there, I basically had a number of epiphanies, but one of them was this. I had been reading Peter Matheson's great book, The Snow Leopard,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a wonderful book. And in that, at one point, when he's in the Himalayas, he talks about what is the meaning of the mountain. And he basically says, I'm paraphrasing, that the mountain has no meaning. The mountain is meaning. And for me, I translated that to be, well, what's the meaning of my life? The meaning of my life is how I live it each day. And it's not separate. There's no duality to it. It's am I a decent, kind, giving person today? And that is the meaning of it. And that was one epiphany. The other was I looked at Everest and I realized that as small as I may feel sometimes, I'm part of that mountain. I'm part of a larger story. And it's that larger story that we must connect with. Too often in today's culture, with 24/7 everything,
mm-hmm.
Everything becomes, to me at least, it appears to be becoming so small, so petty, just gossip and Hollywood gossip chatter and things like that. And I connected to something larger. And I said, no, that there's more to this story, and we must connect to a larger story. That's one of the purposes of why we're here, to be part of the mountain, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So those two epiphanies really changed me dramatically. Those were two of the main reasons when I came back, I tried to live differently by focusing on the large as opposed to the petty, and also recognizing that how I live each day is meaningful. I can't rationalize bad behavior away. I have to be a decent, honorable person.
Right. I want to go into that more, and I also want to ask if you can articulate that larger story. But let's go to break first. You're listening to Mind Matters. I'm Anjan Boris, and we are talking with Paul Lipton about his book, Hour of the Wolf. Stay with us.
Enjoy a relaxing, healing, hour-long Reiki session through the hands of meditation and Reiki master Anjan Boris. Reiki treats the whole person, including body, emotions, mind, and spirit, creating many beneficial effects that include relaxation and feelings of peace, security, and well-being. Many have reported miraculous results. Anjan incorporates tantric mantras and yantras that bring an added dimension and power to traditional Reiki healing. To find out more and to schedule your appointment, email anjan@anjan.com today. Reiki treatments with Anjan are usually $90, but mention this ad and get a one-hour treatment for one-third off, just $60.
Imagine your physician prescribed you soothing, synchronized, warm oil massages from two therapists, individualized herbalized steam treatments and herbal packs, Shirodhara, chakra balancing meditations, and much more. This tension-easing treatment that relieves anxiety, ringing in the ears, autoimmunity, stress-induced issues, and insomnia can be found at Fern Life Center. Call today and experience what the people of India have utilized to stay young and vibrant since 5,000 years ago. The Panchakarma Therapy Program at the Fern Life Center cleanses your body, mind, and spirit to achieve perfect health through the ancient Eastern medical wisdom of Ayurveda. Prepare your body for the change of seasons and melt away hidden stress with the Panchakarma Treatment from Fern Life Center. Call 425-391-FERN or visit us in Issaquah to schedule your appointment with Keisha Ewers for your first consultation. You can find out more information online at fernlifecenter.com. Fern Life Center's Panchakarma Therapy. Detox, relax, and heal. Mention this ad and get a free detoxifying steam treatment with any regular massage. Insurance plans do not cover Panchakarma treatments, but usually cover the office visits with our medical providers. Again, call Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376 to schedule an appointment for this incredible anti-aging program.
Meditation heals and vitalizes both mind and body. Learn this wonderful art with world-renowned meditation instructor Ajayan Boris in the Effortless Mind Meditation Classes. The Effortless Mind Meditation Classes offer a direct experience of exceptionally deep meditation, accessible to anyone. Call the Fern Life Center today, 425-391-FERN. The Effortless Mind. So easy, anyone can do it.
Ajayan's next Effortless Mind Meditation class will be held July 20th in Issaquah. For more information, visit ajayan.com. That's A-J-A-Y-A-N.com.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Like the
And welcome back. You're listening to Mind Matters. I am Ajayan Boris. And just a reminder that Mind Matters is part of the Healthy You Radio Network. And if you can't tune in live at 1 p.m. every Monday, you can also listen online. You can stream it online for that matter, live. You can also listen to the podcast. Just go to healthyyouradio.com. You'll also find the podcast on my website, ajayan.com. And don't forget, Healthy You Radio is also on Tuesday and Wednesday, also at 1 to 2 p.m. All right, we are speaking with Paul Lipton about his wonderful book, Hour of the Wolf. And, you know, I don't know if all my listeners realize it, but, you know, I vet these books, and virtually all the books that I interview the authors, I feel they are worthwhile books. And This one in particular, please go out and pick it up. It's really a wonderful book, very sensitively written, wonderful insights and inspiration, The Hour of the Wolf. And I imagine, Paul, it's available, at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble?
Yes, it's available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. And if you go on, I have a website, theagelessexperiment.com. Mm-hmm. If you go on there, I write fairly regularly, and you can click on the book there. It will take you to Amazon to look at the reviews, look at the book, and also purchase.
Mm-hmm. AgelessExperiment.com. What's the meaning behind that?
Well, the meaning behind that is a number of years ago, I was just perplexed by all the signs I saw about, you know, senior citizen and things like that. And I just turned, this June, I just turned 68, and I don't feel any different than I did 20 years ago. I mean, I know I'm not as spry as I used to be, but mm-hmm. I saw all these signs everywhere that seemed to be restrictive in nature. And people, as they got older, were almost voluntarily restricting what they thought they could or couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to say that there's a way today. I made a comment recently, and I don't mean it in a morbid way. I mean it in a very positive way. But I said, look, no one gets out of life alive. So what are you worried about? You have this time now. This is your moment in eternity. This is your time.
Mm-hmm.
So don't restrict yourself and don't start using some arbitrary number or birth date to say you still can't have dreams, you still can't seize the moment, and you still can't have fun in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to label my blog The Ageless Experiment.
Wonderful. I love that. And I can totally relate to it, too, because, you know, I'm married to a very active woman who is 13 years younger than me. And but she keeps me going. And I just, you know, we run. We just did a half marathon in Seattle and, you know, do hiking like crazy. And we're going to be climbing Mount Rainier, we hope, next year.
God bless you. That's great.
Yeah. So things like that. I mean, you can do these things. And actually, before meeting her, I was already kind of toning down my activities. And now I'm actually doing more than I've ever done.
It's interesting because I started riding a motorcycle when I was 54. And my wife, who, as I said, I've been married to for 45 years, as a birthday present to me,
mm-hmm.
3 years ago when she turned 63, she got her motorcycle license, and mm-hmm. she got her own motorcycle, and the two of us ride our own bikes together.
Fabulous. Again, we both have motorcycles, too, and that's
yeah,
a lot,
you know,
of fun.
So it's and one of the great things about motorcycles, I've told people that it's a very zen experience.
Mm-hmm.
You must be in the moment. You just must be present in the moment. There's no distractions with texting or phone calls or radio. You're just you traveling through time and space, and I just love it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, I love it, too. It's very relaxing. I have to admit, I feel a little bit like a kid on it. I do kind of I do sort of push it a little bit when I'm on it.
I hear you. I was riding my bike this morning,
mm-hmm.
and because it's just such a beautiful day in Boulder today, and I was out on the motorcycle this morning. It was just a gorgeous time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, lovely. All right. Paul, you were talking about the Himalayas before the break. And during the break, I was letting you know that, you know, I've been to the Himalayas myself and actually have spent a fair amount of time there in meditation retreat up at 10,000 feet at the source of the Ganges. And for many years, I've led groups up there to share that experience with them because I just feel so much enthusiasm for it there. There's something really remarkable about any mountain range, but this is like the greatest mountain range on Earth. It's amazing. And some of the tallest, well, the tallest mountains on Earth. And it's just spectacular and magnificent. And not only the physical beauty, but the sort of depth of silence and being. It's a very spiritual place. I think maybe one of the great spiritual hearts of the planet. Anyway, I think it's really interesting that you went there and had, you know, such epiphanies in the Himalayas.
I remember to this day coming around a trail, walking into the Tangboche, which is the Tangboche Monastery, in the Himalayas. And I remember walking under a wood-covered bridge. And as I came into this valley, Everest was in front of me. The monastery was there. And I literally said, can you feel that? And everyone that was, my wife was there and the guide, and my wife said, yes, what is it? And we were actually feeling the silence.
Mm.
It was as if it was palpable. You could actually just feel the energy.
Right, right. Yeah, as I mentioned, I have a manuscript that I'm hoping to publish someday. I actually wrote this shortly after my first trip to the Himalayas in 96, and it's called Whispers of the Himalayas. And And it's based on, you know, spending lots of time meditating every day in a cave at 10,000 feet, looking out at the mountains when I open my eyes. And it was as if the mountains were whispering these sublime, you know, secrets and realizations in that deep silence there.
And absolutely. It truly, as I mentioned, I really had these epiphanies there. Because I, one of the things that has always concerned me, especially in this age where noise and chatter seems to have overtaken the quality of silence and the quality of time, you get there and you really appreciate the stillness, and you have it connects you to parts of you that maybe you forgot about.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when I wrote Hour of the Wolf, a great deal of it is asking people to connect with that part of them that is the larger story of who they are and what they can still do in their one day here.
Now, can you articulate that larger story or any aspect of it?
Well, you know, it seems to me what I write about at one point is I write that every chapter I really spent a lot of time with. Someone who read it said to me at one point they felt it was like one long poem. But I really spent time with it, but there were a couple of chapters. One is the five decisions. And in the five decisions, I talk about that we're the sum of the choices we make. And we have to look at five decisions and how they affect us and the people around us. And part of that is connecting to what I call a decision of connecting to the spirit. And whether that's religion or nature or some other philosophy, it's just connecting to a larger story as opposed to mm-hmm. just the daily chatter of it all. I talk about connecting, making decisions about taking care of yourself health-wise, that it's not just, I'm too busy to go to the doctor, I'm too busy to meditate, I'm too busy to even take a walk. I say that's nonsense. You're thinking too small. Mm-hmm. You have to think larger. I talk about connecting with your family and friends, being part of their life, and not making them secondary. Too often, it seems we spend more time with the people who don't matter to us than the people who do matter to us. The third is the spirit, connecting to a larger story, however you define that, but find that connection. The fourth is learning, constantly learning something new. That's where passion lives, always expanding what you can learn about what you can do, whether it's at work or play. And the fifth decision, which these days seems to be the toughest and has gotten the most comments from people, is having fun, finding the child that still is alive and well inside you, who still wants to come out and play, and respecting that child inside you so that there's more to it than, you know, that the child didn't vanish. That child is still there, but we have to give it air to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I love that. At one point in your book, when you're describing this journey to the Himalayas, you mentioned, I think it was when you were looking out at Mount Everest, you say, if the mountain is timeless, why not me too? If I thought of myself as part of the mountain, how differently would I behave? The mountain is grand. Our journey is also grand. When did we lose sight of that basic truth?
Exactly right. It seems that, and it saddens me so much that people get caught up in such negative events and the smallness of it all. If you take a moment and just look at the sunrise or the sunset or the mountain range, or if you look ocean and just see the depth of it and the beauty of it. I'm asking people, as I did, to connect to the grandeur of it all. And mm-hmm. I think once they do, if they just give themselves a little peek into it again, they'll recapture part of themselves that's still there, but for some reason they've let go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is great advice. Yeah,
just it's one of the other chapters I write about is the hole inside the hole,
right?
Which is about a dear friend of mine who died too young of Lou Gehrig's disease, which is an insidious, terrible illness.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to her at one of the last conversations I had with her about she made a comment to me that I write about in Hour of the Wolf where she said, it was easy being your friend, Paul. And I write about that saying, why can't we make it easy for each other? Why do we have to test people and test each other? Why can't we just give ourselves and each other a break as we go through this journey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like what you were saying a moment ago, too, about connect with the grandeur and maybe wake up to something we've forgotten. When I was much younger, how much awe I was, inspired with by just looking up at the night sky and seeing the stars, for instance, And now if we're in a place where we can look up into the night sky and see the stars, which is a little, it's becoming fewer and fewer places where we can do that clearly. But still, we might not take the time to do it. But when you do and you remember that awe, I mean, it's really an important connection with the life that you're living.
And in fact, I write about that, when I was a young boy, my dad taking me outside mm-hmm. and asking me to look up. And I said, Dad, why? He said, Paul, just look up. And I looked up. I said, what am I looking at? I was this young boy. And he said, it goes on forever, Paul. And I write about that. And I say, we have such a hard time because we're so used to walls and doors and windows and boxes and definitions and restrictions and limitations and signs that say stop and yield and don't go. But when you look up and you realize that as far as we know, it goes on forever, and we're part of this incredible story, I want people to reconnect to that.
Yeah. Paul, let's pause there. We have to go to a break. I'm getting the signal from my producer.
Okay.
So you're listening to Mind Matters. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute to talk more with Paul Lipton about the Hour of the Wolf.
Do you suffer from pain? Pain comes in many forms, from muscle aches and pains to nerve pain. It's painful not to have the energy you want, or to suffer from allergic reactions to food, the environment, or your pets. An innovative technology that is being used at Harvard Medical School could be your answer. The Aura PTL laser system is like acupuncture with no needles. It works on the energy body and the physical body, bringing relief from pain, hormone imbalance, adrenal fatigue, and even allergies of all kinds. Combined with homeopathy, this non-invasive therapy brings healing on all the levels of your body. To find out more about laser therapy, go to fernlifecenter.com or call 425-391-3376. That's 425-391-3376. Your consultation with Keisha Ewers, ARNP, is covered by most insurance companies. Call now.
Research shows that over 90% of health issues can be attributed to stress. Not every illness requires pills, supplements, or other costly interventions. Reiki is a Japanese healing technique that calms and relaxes the entire nervous system, working on mental, physical, and spiritual levels. Our Reiki masters at Fern Life Center have been especially trained to individualize your care to suit your unique life concerns. Contact Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376. That's 425-391-3376. To begin your journey to a stress-free life and take charge of your health today. Fern Life Center also offers Reiki training programs from levels 1 through master level. As a certified Reiki master, you too can offer this beautiful healing modality to others or begin a training program of your own if you have always wanted to be a healer. Go to fernlifecenter.com for more information or call today.
If you are tired of feeling sluggish, overweight, and out of balance, then welcome to the Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method. The Fern Life Center now offers this medically designed protocol that results in fat loss while sparing muscle mass. The Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method is an easy four-phase protocol that helps stabilize the pancreas, hormones, and blood sugar levels while burning fat and maintaining muscle, not to mention an excellent support for cellulite reduction. The best part? We guarantee success. Welcome to your last diet. Call the Fern Life Center now and register for our next free introductory seminar. That's right, free. Call 425-391-3376 or go to fernlifecenter.com. Mention this ad and qualify for a drawing to receive your first product free. Call 425-391-3376 and find your healthy you.
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back. You're listening to Mind Matters. I am Ajayan Boris. We're speaking with Paul Lipton, who is the author of Hour of the Wolf, An Experiment in Ageless Living. All right. So, Paul, I was curious. You talk about the hero and how to live as a hero in a non-heroic age, basically. Could you talk about that? What do you mean by the hero and how do we live the hero's journey?
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, there are a number of chapters in Hour of the Wolf. One of them is the hero, and then the other is, how does a hero live in an unheroic time?
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is this, that we have to remember that we're the author of our own story, that this is our life, and we're the screenwriter, we're the director, we're it. In our story. And I find too many people either waiting for someone to save them, waiting for someone to ride up on a white horse to save them from something, or for some reason acting in a way that's not heroic, that they either play the victim or they feel like they're the victim. I write that I had a health condition. It's called trigeminal neuralgia. I won't go into it. The book goes into it. But basically, it's a very painful condition. And at one point, I felt like a victim. And I said, that can't... Hello?
Yes.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I heard it too, but okay. Go ahead.
And what I thought was, this can't be the way my life's going to play out as some victim. And so I decided to seize the moment, make certain decisions to take care of myself through this health condition, but also talk larger about if this is your story, why wouldn't you want to live it heroically? Why wouldn't you want to live it in a way that you're proud of? So I spend time talking about the hero journey, that we're all faced with crises, as Joseph Campbell brilliantly writes about in Hero with a Thousand Faces.
Mm-hmm.
And we're faced with crises. We're not alone. We're not an anomaly. And we can choose to be heroic in our life. And what I write about is that really in the end, we have to depend upon ourselves. We'll have family and friends that can help us, give advice, but in the end, we have to, it's a solo flight. The hero has a solo flight, and you have to live it bravely and with faith that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
What I write about is that in today's day and age, with 24/7 everything and everyone connected on Facebook and everything else, everything seems to have gotten very small. Even though we're connected all over the place, it seems as if the chatter is small discussions. And what I write about is that we must still step into the hero role for our own story. We don't want to be playing a bit part in someone else's story. This is your one opportunity, and I don't want to look back on my life and say, now, what was I really worried about? What was holding me back from living my complete story the way I need to tell it? And that's to a great extent what I write about.
Right. Okay. You know, I love this one little, this is about half a paragraph, and I rarely read from a book on the show, but this I just really love, so I'm going to do that. Advertising companies define us as members of a demographic, but we can be much more than that. We must be. Without heroes, the world would be left only with victims, bystanders, and perpetrators of one bad deed after another. Someone has to be the clear voice of might for right and reminding us all that the means do matter, as opposed to focusing only on achieving the ends or the bottom line. And then you ask the question, but how does the hero live in a non-heroic age? I love what you say there. It reminds us the importance of being that clear voice. And it also raises a point for me that actually last week I was speaking on air with Gene Houston, who I'm sure you've heard of.
Oh, sure.
And we had a great interview. And one thing that she said was when she had interviewed and talked with a number of people that she considered, you know, on that hero's journey, that she found that they had one thing in common, and that was they were all very passionately interested in observing the workings of their own mind. And in other words, the hero's journey is really, you know, we're not going to go out and find the golden fleece outside of ourselves or, you know, do that kind of journey. But it's going to be largely, at least one very important component is that it's an inner journey.
Yes.
And you also talk about that in the book, for instance, with your experiences with the shaman teachers.
Yes, absolutely. And that was an amazing, amazing experience with the shamans at Esalen. The two shaman teachers in particular, Nan Moss and David Corbin, are wonderful, wonderful teachers and shamans.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, one of the chapters in Hour of the Wolf is called The Rhino.
Mm-hmm.
And without going into great depth in it, it was going on a shaman journey to that part of the shaman world where you retrieve your power animal. And I write about that, and I write about that it turned out for me to be the rhino, which, you know, I thought it would be something, you know, sexy like some eagle or tiger or
right.
lion, you know, something really
mm-hmm.
cool like that.
Right.
And there I was confronted with the rhino, you know, and initially you go, really? And I write that in the book. I go, really, the rhino? But as I studied it and as I learned about it, I said, this is exactly, it's amazing how true it was, you know, and what I write in Hour of the Wolf is that, for me at least, the rhino is, you know, it's not sexy, it's not the most beautiful of creatures, but it's solid, it's present, it's there, it's fearless, it stands its ground.
Mm-hmm.
The horn in the it, between the eyes is kind of like the third eye of instinct, and I have fallen madly in love with the rhino. I have pictures and rhino figurines all over the place,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very proud of it. So it was a fascinating time. But then I went on a journey to another part of the world in shaman, which is the upper world, and to meet my spirit guides. And I know it may sound odd to folks that are listening, but I hope they read the book and understand what I'm talking about here. But I spent time with my mom and dad, who had passed away, and I was told to ask them one question that didn't call for a yes or no, and that I didn't know the answer to. And I did ask the question, and I got this answer that was just, it just stopped me in my tracks, but it helped me so after I understood it. I asked them, where does strength come from? And the answer I got was that strength comes from having compassion for the obstacle. And I didn't understand that at first, but afterward I did understand it better. And for me, what it means is that if I let the obstacle or the enemy control the situation, then I've given my power over to them. But if I look at the obstacle and go, okay, I see you, I hear you, I can deal with you, I have great compassion for what you're going through, because obviously it hasn't been a good time for you, because all you're doing is negative things, obstacle things, all of a sudden you're empowered because you haven't given your power over to the obstacle. I hope that makes sense. I write about it in more depth in Hour of the Wolf, but I wanted to share that with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. That makes sense. You know, and also I was thinking a little more too about how to live the heroic life in a non-heroic age. Don't you think also that it's kind of all the things you've been talking about, you know, connecting with that larger story is a really important part of it. You know, observing the workings of your own mind, doing self-confrontation when you have to, and finding that the sort of breath of that larger story, even in every moment of your day. Whether it's mundane tasks around, you know, raising a family or relating with your spouse or your work, somehow everything can be informed by that larger story. Would you say that's part of that heroic
thing? Oh, absolutely. I think that is probably one of the most critical parts of the story. Mm-hmm. Look, we all have our obligations. We all have our responsibilities. We have to make a living. We have to take the kids to their you know, school and all their activities on the weekend and do our shopping. And mm-hmm. I'm fully aware of that. And absolutely, what I'm saying is, as you're doing all that, at least take a moment to say, this is still my one day, my life, and then immerse yourself in it and enjoy it. And if you're in a toxic relationship, or if you're in a toxic work environment, I also write about, well, if that's the case, and this is your hero story, and with some of our choices, I need you then to think about it and say, wait a minute, is this the way I want it to play out? Let me be fearless. Let me be a hero in my story. I'm not going to be a victim in my story.
Mm-hmm.
And find a solution to bring you into the light.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. See, Paul, we need to go to a break again. You're listening to Mind Matters. Stay with us. We'll be right back to talk more about Hour of the Wolf.
If you are tired of feeling sluggish, overweight, and out of balance, then welcome to the Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method. The Fern Life Center now offers this medically designed protocol that results in fat loss while sparing muscle mass. The Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method is an easy four-phase protocol that helps stabilize the pancreas, hormones, and blood sugar levels while burning fat and maintaining muscle. Not to mention an excellent support for cellulite reduction. The best part? We guarantee success. Welcome to your last diet. Call the Fern Life Center now and register for our next free introductory seminar. That's right, free. Call 425-391-4255. 3376 or go to fernlifecenter.com. Mention this ad and qualify for a drawing to receive your first product free. Call 425-391-3376 and find your healthy you.
Enjoy a relaxing, healing, hour-long Reiki session through the hands of meditation and Reiki master Ajay and Boris. Reiki treats the whole person, including body, emotions, mind, and spirit, creating many beneficial effects that include relaxation and feelings of peace, security, and well-being. Many have reported miraculous results. Ajayan incorporates tantric mantras and yantras that bring an added dimension and power to traditional Reiki healing. To find out more and to schedule your appointment, email ajayan@ajayan.com today. Reiki treatments with Ajayan are usually $90, but mention this ad and get a one-hour treatment for one-third off, just $60.
Meditation heals and vitalizes both mind and body. Learn this wonderful art with world-renowned meditation instructor Ajayan Boris in the Effortless Mind Meditation Classes. The Effortless Mind Meditation Classes offer a direct experience of exceptionally deep meditation, accessible to anyone. Call the Fern Life Center today, 425-391-FERN. The Effortless Mind. So easy, anyone can do it.
Ajayan's next Effortless Mind Meditation class will be held July 20th in Issaquah. For more information, visit ajayan.com. That's ajayan.com.
No other station brings you this much variety. Welcome to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Sickness will surely take the mind, where minds can't usually go. Come on the amazing journey and learn all you should know.
And welcome back. I'm Ajayan Boris, and we are speaking with Paul Lipton, author of The Hour of the Wolf, An Experiment in Ageless Living. And if you're just tuning in, please go out and get this book. It is a wonderful book, especially, I would say, if you're, you know, like 45 or older, you're going to really appreciate and relate to some of the sense behind why he wrote this. But anybody could read this and enjoy it because it's wonderful, sensitive insights in here. Let's get into another one of those insights, Paul, that you talk about living 100% of 100%. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, my pleasure. Yes, well, one chapter is 100% of 100%. And what I mean by that is so often everyone kind of holds themselves back from being all they can be in the moment. Either they're worried about something they did yesterday that they can't change, or they're worried about something that's going to happen tomorrow that you don't know if it's going to happen or not. So you're never really present in the moment. And what I write about is, what would it feel like if, you know, not being, you know, obnoxious and difficult. I'm still talking about being a sensitive person. But what would it feel like to be 100% you right now? And I write about that because I experienced that when I was at Esalen, taking a particular class asking me that question, because we filter ourselves so, and then I believe that that's where the wolf comes in at night. The wolf kind of is walking around at night because the wolf knows you haven't been all you can be. You're holding yourself back from your full potential, and I don't know why you're doing that. I don't know why we're doing that, or I was doing that. I left the active practice of law because I truly wanted to write this book, and I wanted to give myself 100% to it, and that's what I've done. And there's a certain liberation in doing that. So yes, that is something in Hour of the Wolf that hopefully your audience will read that chapter and see what they want to do in their life to tweak going from holding themselves back to being all they could be, living their potential.
Right. That is such an important message. I mean, you know, psychologists have known for, you know, decades, have been writing about that. We don't live but a fraction of our potential. And we're practically walking around in a haze of patterns, like 90% of everything we do, just kind of set up by conditioned patterns that in largely were set up when we were children, you know. So, I mean, it's pretty crazy. And the idea of living 100% of 100% is so important to, you know, to just be aware of that possibility and you know, target that in your life.
Yes, absolutely. And all I'm asking people to do is to think about it and say, well, even for today, even when I'm out with the kids, put the iPhone away, put the electronic stuff away, and say, what would it feel like to just be totally present with my family 100% right now?
Yep. And that we're going to have to close. This is J.M. Boris. We've been speaking with Paul Lipton, Hour of the Wolf, an experiment in ageless living. Join us next week. We'll be talking with Cynthia Andrews, The Path of Emotion. Mind Matters is part of the Healthy You Radio Network.